Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 5. Bob asked that we devote this time together this afternoon to the subject of getting to know Jesus Christ out of the Word of God. And I'd like to call your attention to a few short verses in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Follow along carefully as I read. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I'd appreciate it if you keep your Bibles open on your lap and follow along carefully to the study of the Word of God, and join with me once more in a moment of prayer. Our beloved God, we remembered how that the Lord Jesus, as he interacted with people, made the observation that it was possible for men and women to have ears and yet be unable to hear, to have eyes and yet be unable to see. And Father, we know that particularly in the spiritual realm, this is true in our own lives. We know, Father, that except your presence open our ears and our eyes, we go away hungry, understanding nothing. And we remind you of the promise that the Lord Jesus gave when he said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." And we pray that he'd have a teaching ministry here in our midst, that you'd honor this precious book, that you'd instruct us more perfectly in the way that would please and delight you, that when we leave this auditorium, we may leave better men and women than when we came. For Jesus' sake, amen. The writer of the book of Hebrews is talking about the person of Jesus Christ. That's the theme of Hebrews. He's talking to Jewish Christians. And the phrase "better than" or "greater than" appears no less than 28 times in the book. Jesus is better than. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus the best. And almost in a sense of frustration, he pauses here after verse 10 and says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing." Hard to communicate to you, because when for the time you want to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the basic, rudimentary, simple things of the Bible. You need milk instead of meat because you're a baby. Now he's addressing himself to people who have been steeped in the Judeo-Christian tradition. People who all their lives have known the commandment, "Hear, O Israel, for the Lord our God is one God." Who have known of monotheism, who have known the scriptures from children, people who know better, people who chronologically are many years old and who spiritually may be many years old in the Lord, but who in terms of their spiritual maturity are babies. And there's nothing more heartrending, nothing more sickening than to look at an individual who is chronologically mature, but in other areas of their life, immature. Skip mentioned that we have four children. Our fourth born is Jana Kay. She's getting now to be a big little girl, but I remember not too many months ago when I used to hold her in my arms and plug the old bottle in. You know, two eyes, a nose, and a bottle. You know, she lived on that thing. Just loved the bottle. And boy, Dad's heart really loved to be involved in that kind of a thing. I love to feed my kids. And don't mind it at all. That's a very healthy and normal thing. But friends, if 20 years from now, I've still got to feed Jana Kay, I've got problems on my hands. I've got real problems on my hands. That's no longer fun. That's sad. And that's the way it is in the Church of Jesus Christ. And when a man or a woman comes to Jesus Christ in those early months of their life, it's a thrill to break open the simple truths of the Bible, to go over and have a quiet time with them and show them some of the basic truths of the Bible. I remember how that Bob, the guy that led me to Christ, took the time to do that with me. Oh, those were precious times. I can remember the first time I was out at a Bible camp, and Dick Hillis was one of the men that was there speaking. And every morning he would meet with me during that week. And I come over to his room, and at 6 a.m, we'd get down on our knees, and he'd open up the Bible to me. And we'd have prayer and Bible reading on our knees out of the book of Isaiah. And oh, that was thrilling as he'd open up the book to me. But there comes a time in our lives as we grow and as we mature in Jesus Christ that we ought to be able to feed ourselves. You know, it's the mama bird type Bible study. You know, where all the hungry birds come together on Sunday morning and mama bird stands up and drops the little nuggets of truth into the mouths of the people. And it's okay for the baby birds. But for grown adults to have the spoon-fed milk of the Word week after week with no other source of intake other than that, that's sad. That is as sad as my daughter, 20 years old, still having to be fed by somebody else with a bottle. And that's what he's talking about here. For when for the time you want to be teachers, you have neither one teach you the simple ABCs of the Bible. I have listed here 4 reasons why you ought to know the Word of God. And I'd like to call these to your attention, hoping that I can motivate and stimulate you to get to know this book. You know, folks, I have a friend who's a lawyer. And his job to me is a gargantuan task. Good grief. I go into his library, and he's got row after row after row of laws of the land. I never realized that, you know, we got, of course, hundreds of men up there in Washington. All they do is make laws. That's full time. They make laws. And they write these things down. And the lawyer, he's got to know all that stuff. And I got another friend who's a doctor. And I can't believe the stuff that guy's got to know about the anatomy of the human body and all the intricacies of it. And I look at myself, and all we've got one book we've got to master. That's all, just one book. Not row after row after row, just one. Boy, let's know the book. God has narrowed it down. He hasn't given us the task of a lawyer or the task of a doctor. He just said, all I want you to do is know one book. Just one. Know this Bible. Get to know it. Let it become part of your life. For the first reason, because the Bible brings people to Christ. The Word of God converts people to Christ. 1 Peter 1:23. Who knows the verse? We're going to try a little scripture memory here this afternoon. Who knows the verse can stand and quote it real loud for us. 1 Peter 1:23. Okay, please. Okay, did you hear that? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By what? The Word of God. The Word of God saves. The Word of God converts. The Word of God affects a change in a man's life. When the Word of God is sown into the life of a man, it's like a grenade going off. And all kinds of things happen down deep inside of him. I remember, for example, when I was talking with a guy at the university. His name was Dick Bunn. And Dick was an agnostic. He says, Hendrickson, you may know about this spiritual truth, but I don't. And I'm not sure I can. I said, Dick, how bad would you like to know? What do you mean? Bad enough to read the Bible and find out? He says, yeah, I'd be happy to read the Bible. I said, well, now, I'm going to give you a little assignment to do, and there's a little reading I want you to do, and if you'll do this reading, I think you'll find out whether or not Jesus is truth. He says, yeah, I'd be happy to do it, and as soon as he said that, man, I knew he'd been had. Just a matter of time. We had him. So I gave him a Bible study, and he did it. I gave him the B rations, and he memorized it. He had memorized the first 12 verses of the B ration, of our scripture memory course, and had gone through the first three books of our Bible study course before he became a Christian. Man, he came into the kingdom on a dead run. But I knew that as soon as old Dick had committed himself to getting into this Bible, his life would be changed. And that's what Jesus said. He said over in John 7:17, if you'll do what I ask you to do, then you'll know if what I'm saying is right or not. You get into that Bible and you let it have an effect on you, and man, you'll walk away knowing that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that men come to the Father by me. You'll know. The second thing that the Word of God does for you is it makes you like Jesus Christ. It makes you Christ-like. Not only does it bring you to Christ, namely save you, but it changes you into the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Who knows that verse? Stand up and quote it for us, real loud so everybody can hear it. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Good. Great. Now the glass, of course, is this, the Bible. And when you look into the Bible, into a mirror, you can see not only yourself, but you can see other people around you. We all with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We see not only ourselves in it and all of our wickedness and wretchedness, but we see the glory of Jesus Christ. And as we gaze into it, we're changed into the image of the Lord from one degree of glory to the next. Isn't that terrific? That's what the Bible does for you. It changes you from one degree of glory to the next into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember looking at an older couple. They'd been married for 50 years, celebrating their 50th anniversary. And I looked at them and I commented to my wife. I said, sweetheart, you know, they almost look alike. And you know that's true. People that have been married and lived together year after year after year, they begin to even look alike. Oh, mom and dad, they lived so many years with each other, and they just blended their lives together so much that not only do they begin to think like each other, they begin to act like each other, they even begin to look like each other. And that's the objective of the Scriptures, gang. You get into that book and you let it have its way in your life, and it begins to make its way down deep to where you really live. And you begin saturated with it more and more. You become like it. The story was told of a man who went into the National Art Museum in Washington, D.C. and began to paint the master, the great paintings of the masters. And he took his canvas and he'd go around and he'd copy these great paintings. And people would watch him. And one man came up to him and asked him what he was doing and told him that he was reproducing the masters. And the fellow came to him and he said, friend, listen, your work is beautiful, but people don't want to see imitations. People want to see the real thing. People don't want to look at copies. People come here to look at what the real McCoy. Don't spend your time reading about the Bible. You get into the real thing. Find out what the Master has to say to you. And watch your life changed little by little into the image of Christ Jesus. Notice in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Can somebody stand up and quote those two verses for us? Anybody? Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. Okay, real loud. Face the audience for us. Okay, thank you. Now I want you to notice, what word is it talking about here? What word is it talking about here? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What word are we talking about here? The Bible. But notice what it says in verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in what? His sight. His is a personal pronoun. Referring to what? Yeah, to Christ. To God. His sight. Whose sight? Grammatically, you refer back to chapter or verse 12, and you find it's the Word's sight. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in the Word's sight. For all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. The Word. The point is that the Bible uses the incarnate Word, Jesus Christ, and the written Word, the Bible, interchangeably. And let it be known, painted indelibly in your mind, you cannot know the written Word until you get to know Jesus, and you can't know Jesus apart from the written Word. I remember one time when I was living with Skip. He mentioned that we lived together for a couple of years. We did a Bible study on the results of having the Word of God in your life. And we found that there were some words in the neighborhood of about 36, about three dozen of them. Then we did a study on the results of having Jesus Christ in your life and found out that the results were exactly the same. Exactly the same. The Word of God affects the same change in your life as Jesus affects in your life. Jesus saves you, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. Jesus gives us victory. Thanks be to God, which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. And on and on and on and on. If you want to know Christ, you've got to get to know the Bible. The third reason why you ought to get to know the Bible is it gives you power to live in victory. I just quoted part of Psalm 119, 9 and 11. Who can stand up and quote the whole thing? Psalm 119, 9 and 11. You can include 10 in it if you'd like. Right. Exactly. The psalmist asked the question, how can I cleanse my way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The Christian is like a deep sea diver. In the world, he's surrounded by the world system. And he's down there on the bottom, walking around, trying to survive. And the only thing that connects him with life is that thing called an air hose. And when that air hose is turned off, he's through. And that air hose, as far as the believer is concerned, is the Word of God. It is survival for the Christian. And friend, if you've been having difficulty in your life, the chances are superb that it's because you're not in the book. You don't know the Bible. You're not spending time in God's precious Word. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Paul talks about this over in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Who can quote those two verses for us? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Don't feel embarrassed. We all kind of stumble. Stand up. Nice and loud for us. Perfect. Excellent. Don't be conformed to this world. That's my problem. Constantly getting conformed to the world. As the Phillips translation puts it, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. But be transformed. How? By the renewing of my mind. Now that's the key. If I could only get my whole mind renewed, I'd have it made. It's my mind that gives me fits. And if you think it's bad what I say, you ought to see what I think. You laugh because you know what I'm talking about. Man, I think thoughts that even make me blush. How about you? Yeah, my mind, that gives me fits. It's my worst enemy. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, I've thought long and hard on that. And I know that I've got to do two things in order to get that mind transformed. Number one is defensive. I've got to watch out what gets into it. And so there's certain movies that I don't go to. There are certain things I don't look at. There are certain books I will not read. There are certain places I will not go and watch because I don't like what goes into my mind. It's not because I'm a strong, disciplined man that I don't do these things. It's because I'm a coward that I don't do these things. Because I know what it does to me if I do them. It just rips me apart. But then the other side of the coin is the positive aspect, the offense. And that's what I put into it. What do I do with my time? And that's where the Word of God comes. And you see, gang, my objective is to so fill my Word of God, my mind with the Word of God so that I begin to think God's thoughts after Him. So I begin to react. See, my actions I can control. It's my reactions that get me. And so I try to saturate my mind with the Word of God so that when temptation comes into my life, I can react as God would react under similar circumstances. Master this book for your own survival. Number four. It helps me in witnessing. The Word of God helps me in witnessing. Who can stand up and quote Jeremiah 23:28? That's a goodie. One of you saints have been walking with Jesus for some time. Stand up and quote Jeremiah 23:28. Jackson, do you know it? You know 29, but not 28. Yeah, 29 is a good one also. We might even include 29 with 28. Who can stand up and do it for us? Isn't that great? That's so neat. You see, God says, the prophet that has a dream, let him tell his dream. But he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. For what is the straw to the wheat? Or what is the chaff to the wheat? Now, I've never lived on a farm, but I got that much scoped out, that if I take a whole bucket load of chaff and go out there and sow it on the field, come harvest time, my crop's going to be rather sparse. But if I take wheat and plant the field with it, I'm going to have myself a good crop, all other things being equal. God says the prophet's word is like straw or chaff. The word of God is like wheat. One has the ability to give life and reproduce, and the other doesn't. Well, I'm not very smart, as I told you before. And when God says that the prophet's word is like straw, you can imagine what my word's going to be like. I'm less than a prophet. Gee, The best thing I can do is give them the word. Because the word of God, says 29, is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. It's like a fire that consumes. And gang, I've seen that again and again and again. I remember the night that I sat with Randy. And Randy was groping with the things of the spiritual things, of getting to know Christ. And he was a pagan and he knew it. And so we were just going through the Bible, talking about the Bible. And I turned to Romans chapter 2, verse 16, which says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And Randy looked at me and he said, would you say? And so I read him the verse again. He says, let me see that. So he grabbed the Bible and he read it. And he got kind of, just the blood drained out of his face. He got kind of pale. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. And he looked up and he said, good grief, I haven't got a chance. He said, Henriksen, I haven't got a chance. I haven't got a chance. And he really became emotionally involved. And I said, that's right, friend. You don't have a chance. And we went up into the living room of our home, and Randy received Christ as Savior and is walking with the Lord today. The Word of God brought him to the end of himself. The Word is effective in witnessing. I remember one time there was a guy that came over to my house and we went down to our basement and started talking. He was agnostic. He said, I don't believe the Bible. I said, you ever read it? He said, I read in it. I didn't ask you that. I said, did you ever read it? Well, no. I said, I'll tell you what. Why don't we look into the Bible and find out what it is you don't believe? Well, okay. I figured that was logical, since he never read the thing. He said, okay. So we started going through the Bible, verse after verse, just reading the Bible. And he stopped me. He said, but I don't believe that. I said, that's okay. I'm not asking you to believe it. We're just seeing what it is you don't believe. Oh, okay. So go a little bit further. But I don't believe that. Yeah, I know you don't. Calm down. We're just going to look and see what it is you don't believe. Oh, yeah. So go a little bit further. Yeah, but I don't believe that. Yeah, I'm not asking you to believe it. We're just, remember, the ground rule wasn't that you had to believe it. It was just we're going to see. He says, yeah. He says, but when you read it, it makes it sound as though it's true. Oh, that's the word of God for you, friend. It can do in a man's life which you could never do. Because you see, the Word of God is not argumentative. It's not persuasive. The Word of God is creative. The Word of God has life in it. You don't argue men into the kingdom of heaven. They're recreated into the kingdom of heaven by the sincere milk of the Word. 1 Peter 3:15 says... And who can quote that one for us? 1 Peter 3:15. Okay, turn and face the audience and real loud. Terrific. 1 Peter 3:15. You want to jot that reference down? God says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. As you leave this church in a couple of minutes to go out for your dinner time, and some man who's at odds with the world and is about ready to declare spiritual bankruptcy comes to you and says, friend, I just noticed you came out of a church. Tell me, I've been looking for God. How do I find God? Could you take the Bible and open it up and show him Jesus from the Scriptures in such a way as to communicate the Bible to him and bring him to Christ as Lord and Savior? If you don't, then you don't know your Bible very well. The Bible says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready for that opportunity. Get to know your Bible. Well, we've spent all morning and afternoon in those workshops on how to do that. But the key really isn't just how to do it. The key is motivation. The key is wanting to. I'd rather find a man who wants to and is really turned on in that area than a man who knows how to and isn't. A bunch of methods won't help you unless you're really stirred up in your soul, unless you're really convinced in your being that this is right and worth giving your life to. Never forget, friends, you only believe the things that activate you. Let me repeat that. You only really believe those things that activate you. You say, I believe in witnessing, but you're not doing it. You're lying. You don't believe in witnessing. You say, I believe in the importance of the Word of God, but you're not spending time in the Bible. You're kidding yourself. You don't believe in the importance of the Word. You only believe the things that motivate you, that activate you, that get you moving. And what I suggest that you do is get along with God before too many hours lapse after the end of the conference tonight, and start making some promises and start nailing down some covenants with your God, so that you don't allow this tremendous opportunity to slip through your fingers and transgress one of those important principles where the Bible says, and be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But when you make that promise, remember, my friends, the warning of Ecclesiastes 5, verses 2, 4, and 5. For wise old Solomon said, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure with fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. So when you get before God, you figure out what's important, and then say what you mean, and mean what you say. Let's pray. Once more, Father, we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit and for this precious book called the Bible. Thank you for life. Thank you for the privilege of investing that life in that which is important. Oh God, I pray that you not allow us to leave this conference without acting upon it. For Jesus' sake, amen.